The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so the question is for us to deal with today, as we consider the future of America, we have to consider the past, we have to consider the history of this nation, and what kind of principles was this nation even founded on, and then we look at today and say, how are we doing there, and then what's the future of the country? As you know, or perhaps you didn't know this, this just came out just the other day, literally yesterday afternoon. I grabbed the clip, I put it out on social media. And it was Jen Psaki, who is the White House press secretary, speaking on behalf of the president, that all of a sudden they are going to, and in order to try to get the country's vaccination rates up, they're going to start a door-to-door campaign. Isn't that charming? So you may be asking the question, well, how do they know whose door to knock on? Well, they know because they know who has been vaccinated. And by extrapolation, even if you're using Common Core math, you know who has not been extrapolated. So this is a guy on Twitter, because this is who we quote these days. These are the people on Twitter you never heard of. Wait a minute, this guy said. So the Trump administration can't even ask who is a U.S. citizen while doing the census, but the Biden administration can go door to door to know who isn't vaccinated and then have a conversation with you. So where are we as a country, and where are we going to? And do you even care? That's the question. Do you care? And are you willing to do anything about said caring for the nation, for us as Christians? Whether we're talking about ourselves, listen, I have a golden ticket. I'm out of here. One of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord, and all this stuff's going to be in my rearview mirror. But the rest of the country, and especially our kids and grandkids, what's going to happen to them? Joe Markowitz is with Defender Gear, has been on the show many times now, a great brother in the Lord, successful businessman, a patriot, and somebody that's trying to do something rather than nothing. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back. It's great to be back with you and your team and your audience.
It's great to have you. And this was when we were discussing what we're going to talk about. You texted me recently and really started to go. I mean, all this stuff kind of rings true through me. Because I teach this stuff and have for 8 years. But when you texted me, here's what Franklin, talking about our founding father, was confronted by a passerby in 1787 and asked during the Constitutional Convention if we have a monarchy or a republic. That's a great question, coming on the heels of the British Empire. He said, a republic, dramatic pause, if you can keep it. So what is it about that statement, Joe, that kind of rings true for you and something that we need to grapple with?
Well, Steve, the republic, it's a unique thing. You know, there is such a thing as democracies, but this is America is not a democracy. It's a democratic republic. Obviously, you can have tyrants, monarchs. What you have are people that that up to that point has never seen a democratic republic, meaning the idea of self-government, which is small government, self-government, government of the people, by the people. It is a unique experiment. It has never been tried before to this degree.
Right.
And what those delegates were doing in Philadelphia in 1787 was something that was extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. It was even hard for many of the delegates. They did not want to come to an agreement. They all had their opinions about what the government should look like.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And they were great students of history. They were brilliant. They were well-studied. They had a biblical worldview. They had a great and deep respect and abiding respect for the Bible. Even Jefferson, who was clearly not a Christian by his own admission in terms of things that he believed and didn't believe, said that Jesus was the greatest moral teacher in the history of the world and that we should pay attention to everything that he said. And so you have that soil out of which it came, but it's never been done before. So they're trying to balance. We want the will of the people involved, and we want a lot of freedom for us guys, people like you and me, Joe. We want them to have a lot of, they wanted us to have a lot of freedom, but we also need to institute a federal government because the Constitutional Convention, the Second Continental Congress, had fallen apart, and that wasn't working, the Articles of Confederation. So we're going to create a Leviathan, and then we need to figure out a way to keep the Leviathan from eating us. It's literally the Frankenstein story. We're going to create this thing. But if you're going to give people a lot of freedom, Joe, you're a father, I'm a father, if I'm going to send you to Washington, D.C. with a bunch of eighth graders, okay, for a weekend. Okay, Joe's laughing. I'm going to send you there. How many chaperones would you take with you? Let's say there's going to be 30 eighth graders. You're going to Washington, D.C. for 3 days. How many chaperones would go with you?
You probably need one for three kids.
Okay, sure. So that's like 10, right? Divide and conquer. Why is that?
Well, our nature in and of itself, there is a dark side to our nature. It is the weight of sin on us all the time. It is something that we must always have to deal with as Christians, as believers. Thank God for grace because we have sinned. We've been sinners.
Yeah.
So here it is. It is that they've been trying to form a government. It was based upon, as you mentioned, theories, the Magna Carta, the Greek model, the Roman model, the Bible, John Locke, and many others. And even Thomas Jefferson really had a challenge with it at the Declaration. He was tasked with writing the Declaration. Yeah, now we get to a place where even this young country in 1787 was somewhat falling apart.
Yeah.
It was splitting apart by the states. And I can't remember who it was. If men were angels, we would not need government.
That was Madison said that.
James Madison. He's
kind of the guy that wrote the bulk of the Constitution. But that's right. If men were angels, we would have no need of government. But because of our human depravity, if you're going to give people a bunch of freedom, and this is what I tell my kids in my class again, I'll say, let's do a Thanos moment. I snap. And I just eliminated every single light, every single speed limit, all the markings on the roads, the stop signs, the yield signs. It's all gone. Now, what do you think is going to happen? And they all kind of start laughing. Because I'm like, what? You're not going to get up to the main corner and Joe Markowitz is going to be over there in his car and Steve Noble's on this car, a corner over there, and we're all just going to sit there and go, no, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first.
Chaos. And that is why, and maybe that's something we can talk about, the boundaries.
Yeah.
The boundaries. Now, a republic cannot only be run by laws. Most patriots will say this is a nation of laws.
That's right.
This is true. But it's not enough. That there has to be, in small government, self-government, there has to be the consent of the governed.
That's right.
The governed must act in a manner that's responsible. If they don't act responsible,
that's right,
we're going to have chaos.
That's right. We're going to have chaos. So the founding fathers knew, they said it one right after another, that this form of government with this much freedom requires a people that are moral and religious. If you get rid of that, it's not going to happen because you're going to have 330 million eighth graders running the country without enough supervision, and they're going to turn on themselves, which is exactly what's happening. So we'll keep talking about our past, but we're going to especially talk about our future. Where can we go? What can we do? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Do you need a little spice in your life? Do you need a little pizzazz? Do you need a little encounter of the fourth kind or the fifth kind, whatever it is these days? Perhaps you need a little encounter in you love America. You care about the country. You understand, as you should, if you're a follower of Christ, because you should be a person of truth, that like your past and my past, it's complicated. And there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. America has done some beautiful, amazing, really godly, tremendous, shockingly beautiful things. And we've done some horrible things, and not the least of which is continuing to kill the unborn. But most people now, and Joe Markowitz is here, Defender Gear, defender-gear.com, by the way, defender-gear.com. And the great thing about that is, now you said this, Joe, you wear these shirts all the time. Great apparel, men's and women's, T-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of stuff. But it's all very bold. I'm looking through it right now. You brought me a T-shirt. Here's one for people on Facebook Live. You guys can see this. So you bring me a T-shirt. It's a black T-shirt on the front. It says, "We the People." You guys would recognize that because it's in the font from the Constitution. Right? "We the People, in order to form a more perfect union and establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility." That's not on the shirt. I'm just telling you the rest of it. "Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and promote the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution." All right, so "We the People" is on the front, but it also says right underneath that, "Shall not be canceled." And so now you've got a situation, Joe, and you wear these out, I wear these out, and a lot of people are just afraid, but you get a lot of thumbs up. You don't have a lot of people spitting on you, yelling at you, calling you names. But I think for a lot of us, Joe, we're afraid to wear stuff like this in public.
Well, just remember this, that this is the first generation, the 18 to 24-year-olds, I just heard this yesterday, that only 36% of that age group are proud to be Americans.
Right.
Well, where does that come from? Obviously, the propaganda that has already been fed, not only in the grade schools, the high schools, and now colleges. You've got this critical race theory that's being introduced,
yep.
But let's not talk about that at this point. The fact is, this is the first generation that has been that has not been proud to be an American. I'll acknowledge to anyone that America, it's a great country, but de Tocqueville was misquoted. You know, America's great because America's
the
great.
Frenchman,
he never said that.
The 1830s.
He never said that. We all want naively to say America's great. Donald Trump coined it. Make America great. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to acknowledge that there's been a lot of ugliness.
Sure.
And we still have it. It'll never be perfect. We're trying to form a more perfect union.
Which is why I mentioned to you a minute ago that I look at the Constitution and that basically the funny thing about it, when you look at the Declaration of Independence and then the Constitution, in order to form a more perfect union, to me sounds like on a societal level, on a countrywide level, what sanctification is to us on a personal Christian level. Who are we supposed to pattern ourselves after?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Does Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ have any flaws?
He never sinned?
None,
never
right?
Sinned.
He's perfect. Can you achieve absolute perfection like Jesus in this lifetime on this earth?
No.
You cannot. But are we called to pursue that? We are.
Yes, we are.
That's sanctification, to become more like Christ as you mature and grow in the faith and wisdom and knowledge. Our country did the exact same thing. So in order to form a more perfect union, they knew who we were made up of. At the time, just a couple million people, but a couple million sinners. And so we put a system in place that allowed us to deal with our more ugly demons, and we've been doing it ever since. We haven't eradicated it all, but we've eradicated a lot.
The Declaration and the Constitution, these were ideals.
Yeah.
It wasn't absolutes. These are ideals. And it was left to the people to now live it out. Reagan said, you've got to be one generation.
That's
You're
right.
not going to pass it through the genes. It's got to go to the next generation. How do you do that? By teaching and living it out. We have a lot of ugly things that have happened. We just July 4th, Independence Day. A lot of us celebrated it. But we also had Congresswoman Cori Bush, coming out against it, saying that this is a white holiday, that blacks are not free.
And what's
Maxine Waters did the same thing.
And what's her job? What are their jobs?
Well, they're representatives
in the U.S. government, in Congress. So these are black females who are in the highest echelons of power, governmental power in America.
And I would argue that they're very free.
Yeah.
They're very free.
I would argue the
same thing. In fact, Cori Bush was elected in a district that had 48% white population.
What's up with that? So the mayor, Lightfoot, in Chicago, I heard a clip because they were doing all these clips of Rush Limbaugh on this side of his passing. And praise the Lord, he came out with his public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That was a great thing to hear and to something I had hoped for and prayed for years. But he was talking about Lightfoot comes out and somebody asked her, are you an originalist when it comes to the U.S. Constitution? Lightfoot says, and I'm paraphrasing, this was Rush Limbaugh sharing the story. Lightfoot comes out and says, you mean that document that didn't recognize me, number one, as a black person, number two, as a woman, and number three, as a homosexual? And Rush Limbaugh said, at first, I was very sympathetic to what she was saying, because you could make that case, black, female. That's a problem in our country's history. And then homosexuality, another issue, and it's been challenging. He goes, but then I stopped and thought, you are the black, female, lesbian mayor of one of the biggest cities in America, one of the most well-known cities on the planet. And the reason, ma'am, that you have that job is the very document that you're decrying.
Exactly. You know, I want to keep going with this.
Sure.
All right, because here it is. Contrast that to Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
Who, July 5th, 1852. Now, his speech, which is called, where he said, this 4th of July is yours, not mine. Because what is to the slave is the 4th of July. And this is a call out to the leaders of that day. At that time, slavery was still legal. And rightfully so, he called it out. But contrast that to the activists today who want to basically trash our history, burn it down. He said, "This is your 4th of July, not ours."
But
20 times he spoke about the founders as your fathers. Mm-hmm. He also looked through the Constitution and didn't find one place where racism or slavery was promoted. He said, in fact, he called it the Constitution a glorious liberty document.
Boom.
His hope was in the ideals that were in those documents.
That's right.
And while he was a former slave abolitionist, and he did not really see fully the Emancipation Proclamation. He did not really see the amendment, 13th Amendment.
Yeah.
He didn't really see it.
Nope.
But that was his hope. And here's what I'd like to say is that why don't we debate over those ideals as the standards
rather than
tearing it all down? Because if freedom and liberty die here, where is there to go?
Yeah, there's nowhere else to go. So whether you're Alec Baldwin or whoever, and you say, if so-and-so wins, I'm moving out of the country. Have you noticed how many of them have left? How many moving vans have you seen? Other than people that can't afford the taxes, leaving Hollywood with rich star stuff on board. None of them. Because when push comes to shove, they know that whether they like it or not, they still live in the greatest country on the planet. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely the best. We'll be right back. All right, I got a little question for you, class, a little quiz, a little pop quiz. Don't freak out. It's not that difficult. How many people do you know, personally know, that you encounter on a daily or weekly basis, maybe once a month, whatever, in the workplace, that literally hate the country? How many people do you know? Now, take out of that, you're not allowed to include Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Okay, take all those out. You cannot use social media. How many people have you actually met, talked to, spend time with that absolutely have a deep disdain for the country? They hate America. They hate the 4th of July. They hate the founding fathers. I would propose to you that the vast majority of Americans actually don't. But what we have going on because of the media cycle. Joe Markowitz from Defender Gear is here with me back in the studio today. Joe, again, thanks for your time and your passion and your work. We're going to talk about what Joe and I, one of the things we love to talk about is, okay, we can talk about history. You can talk about principles, and those are all important. But what about today, man? What are we doing today? What can we do today and moving forward? Not and for ourselves, yes, but mostly for our posterity, the kids coming behind us. I think about that and go, okay, if you have a, let's use a tornado. I'm a word picture guy, Joe, because I'm not that intelligent. So I use word pictures all the time. So if I'm in the middle of a tornado and I throw one red pickup truck in there and it's an F5, that puppy's spinning fast. I'm going to think there's 10, 20 red pickup trucks, right? So if I throw 10 in there, I'm going to think there's 1,000. I'm going to be like, this whole stinking thing's made up of red pickup trucks. Okay, there endeth the lesson. You have a mainstream media and social media where has this controlled funnel cloud and just a few people that hate America, but they have a huge presence there. So you think that's the norm. But when you wear Defender gear out in public, which is very pro-America, pro-founding fathers, pro-Christian ideals, have you been spit on?
Never been spit on.
Has anybody called you a really nasty name?
Never.
And we live in a part of the country. We live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is pretty much a mixed bag. If you're in the city of Raleigh, it's blue. If you're in the suburbs, north area, like where we live, it's probably a little more red than blue, but there's plenty of blue out there. But you just don't get that kind of backlash. And so the question is, what's going on? And most of us are afraid. Most people would not wear the shirt you're wearing right now. We the people shall not be canceled. Most people wouldn't wear it.
They wouldn't because... this is a generation, as you said, growing up in social media.
Yeah.
And it's not dialogue. It's just statements. It's opinions. Mm-hmm. It's repeating what they're hearing all over the place.
Yeah.
And they don't. And so people today, they don't spit on me. They don't yell. I would wish that there would be a couple of people say, wait a minute, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Grab a cup of coffee.
I would love to talk about it. And I would welcome it with civil discourse. And that comes, that brings us to where we are today. Because, you know, our founding fathers all spoke about it. James Madison, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Patrick Henry. They all talked about that freedom and virtue and self-government all are intertwined. But how does it, how do we bring that into today when people don't even want to talk? They just want to scream and yell at each other.
Yeah.
And you asked about virtues. What are virtues?
Yeah.
How about
most people don't even know what virtue is.
Little things
is.
Like, how about respect somebody else?
Hmm.
How about live by the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How about be tolerant? Hmm. Tolerant of other people's opinions. How about being kind? Courteous. Why not, especially if you're a Christian? Christians are different. Because
right.
we already know that we're held accountable by our actions here on earth, and, and we should not hide our light under a bushel. That's kind of the, one of the reasons why I like to wear Defender gear and do Liberty dispatches, because I want to be able to I want to be able to expose people to somebody that actually loves people, loves this country, and that we have more in common than we have different.
And today, because of the preponderance of information out there, 34, I looked this up recently because I gave a graduation ceremony, a commencement address for Iron Academy. And I was wondering, how much information are we bombarded with on a daily basis? It's 34 gigabytes. Your iPhone probably, at the most, the most expensive iPhone 12 you can buy has about 512 gigabytes. But about a half of that is taken up by the operating system. You would fill that thing in less than 2 weeks with all the information that's – so they have all this contrary information. They don't know what's going on. We're not really being taught. Our kids in the public school system and colleges are being taught what to think, not how to think. Critical thinking is dead. It's just emotion, and it's a mile wide, and it's an inch deep. And people – here's a list of virtues. Chastity, which is like abstinence. Temperance, which is the opposite of temperance would be gluttony. Charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Here's the opposites. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, envy, wrath, pride. That sounds like America right now versus virtue. And we can't even have the conversation because nobody knows what it is.
I would argue that a virtue like gratitude.
I love that.
Gratitude. You know, it's not perfect. It's not either. There's even some ugly parts to our culture and our society.
Sure.
But I am sure thankful that people went before us. That how fortunate we are to live in the United States of America at this time with the degree of freedom that we have and prosperity, and it isn't perfect. But the young people are not hearing anything other than white privilege, that there were racist country, that the founders were flawed. Okay, we're all flawed. All right, but we still have these virtues, which says that we've got it better here than any place else.
That's right. Well, that like one of the shirts, I'm looking at defender-gear.com. One of the shirts, socialism kills, okay? So you got somebody like Ron DeSantis, who understands if we have an entire generation that doesn't understand, has never grown, has never been educated, they don't know anything about socialism, communism, what kind of havoc that's wreaked on the world, and especially in the 20th century alone, about 120 million people killed, not by Christians, not by Christian ideals, but by socialistic, atheistic regimes, okay? Socialism kills. And underneath it, it says hope, dreams, and freedom. And that is absolutely correct. But your average young person doesn't know that because they don't really know about socialism. And they don't know about the history of socialism because they have been taught. And so they can be marched right into it with these false ideals that it's going to make everything equal for everybody. But they don't know any better, but they have to be taught.
They've never been taught civics.
Right.
They've never been taught our form of government, of checks and balances. They've never been taught that that nothing really happens big unless you have consensus. You do have to compromise.
Sure.
Because we want to come to a better place, and being divided and hating each other isn't going to work. If we're going to pass laws like right now what we have in Washington, D.C., the left is just scheming. How can they use their power right now at this little sliver of time to be able to push policy? And the fact is, it's not popular, but they have a little sliver of majority. But that's not the way our government was formed. That's not the way it was designed. It is supposed to, things are supposed to happen in government by agreement, compromise, negotiations, consensus. All that speaks to character and virtue.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Respect.
That, about 6 months ago, maybe 9 months ago, Joe, And we're talking to Joe Markowitz from Defender Gear. By the way, if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live and you're like, where do you get these really cool shirts that we're wearing? That's where. Okay, defender-gear.com. That's not why Joe is here. He doesn't need to sell T-shirts, just so you know, okay? He's got a successful business. He doesn't need to sell T-shirts. That's not the point. But now, like, when we have these conversations, Joe, which mostly is in social media, which gives us the idea that the whole country is about to kill each other, we don't have a common language because you keep talking about virtue and morality and some sense of that. We've lost that. So there's no common language. So you talk to other people on the other side of the aisle or another any issue, and you're like, I can't get anywhere with these people, literally, because it's like they're talking a different language. We've lost the language of a Judeo-Christian ethic, which is what our country was built out of, and virtue. And those common things are just gone. It's like the Tower of Babel. And all of a sudden you got 330 million people, half of which are speaking one language and the other half speaking a different language. And they don't understand civics. There's no civic language. And there's no understanding of virtue or morality, largely.
They don't know how laws are created.
Right.
They don't know the role of the Supreme Court, the judicial. They don't know the legislative branch. They don't know the executive branch. They don't understand that. They don't understand the purpose of it. Getting back to how self-government really works, if there is no sense of personal responsibility,
oh, man,
then you cannot have freedom. It's impossible, because if, like, as you talk about the Tower of Babel and people can't communicate, or everybody doing their own thing. You know, people just using the excuse, well, it's a free country.
Right,
well, it's a free country. Like, if you just take this kind of picture for people on the radio, they won't be able to see this, but I'm swinging my arms. I have the freedom to swing my arms around until I hit you.
Right.
Until I bother you. And now I have now infringed upon your freedom. We have boundaries. We have to respect it. Other people have opinions. But until your swinging of the arms, so to speak,
right,
now prevents me from swinging my arms, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't understand today. We haven't been taught civility, courtesy, kindness.
Well,
and ultimately, who are we accountable
right
to?
And here's what compromise looks like. When Joe does that, he's swinging his arms and he bumps into me. I'm like, first thing he says is, oh, I'm so sorry. And then I say, that's cool. That's cool. It's fine. I'll back up a couple feet. Joe says, I'll back up a couple feet. Now we're both swinging our arms and we're not hitting each other. And we both still have our personal space. That's what compromise looks like. I'll take a step this way. You take a step that way. We both win. How do we get there? What do we do? A business guy, an educator. How do we do this? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. You know, we'd like to say, hey, do you wear your feelings on your sleeve? I would suggest that you should wear some of your values and your virtues on your sleeve and on the front of your shirt and on the back of your shirt, maybe on your T-shirt and on your hoodie and stuff like that. And let me just preface this. We're talking to Joe Markowitz today. He's back in the studio. Defender-gear.com. That's not why he's here. Okay, the man does not need you to buy T-shirts in order to provide for his family. He's had a very successful business. He's fine. So he's not in here so that we can sell you this T-shirt, which is a black T-shirt on the front that says, "We the People," underneath it, "Shall not be canceled." It's got the Defender gear on the logo on the back. It's got a great American flag on the sleeve. It says Defender of the Republic. Very pro-American. He's got a lot of shirts that are very obvious in their Christian dedication. And so, but that's just a way to kind of wear it on your sleeve that you care. It's an expression.
Yeah.
In a country that we're supposed to have freedom of expression, that's a good way to do it. But we're talking about the state of the nation. What can you do about it? I was just telling you a story, Joe. And again, thanks for coming in today. I was just telling you a story about a young African-American guy, believer. We had been friends for years and we were out. He was in his early 30s a couple years ago. We were at a Baptist university in the Midwest. Did a thing about a documentary about the 13th Amendment and white privilege and all this stuff. Had about 130 students there. Had a panel discussion. I was kind of the white conservative talk radio show Christian guy. And then we went out to dinner afterwards. And at that dinner, this guy who's very outspoken about all these political things informed us that he had never voted. That was my reaction. For those of you on Facebook Live, you see Joe going, huh? I was like, okay, dude, I love you and you're my brother in Christ. But you're complaining about everything and you've never voted. And that's a talent that you buried and did nothing with it. So you're not allowed to whine about that, what you're unwilling to do something about. You won't even cast a vote. So you just lost pretty much all your credibility with me in terms of talking about politics. Ouch. So pick another subject, because I'm not going to listen to you anymore on that one. And that's the question for all of us, Joe, is what do we do? What does Joe Markowitz do? And tell that story real quick, because you have a successful sales organization, you're a leader, successful business guy. But then all of a sudden, Defender Gear, Liberty Dispatch, which is like a video blog, and you got engaged. What was the deal with that?
Well, you know, something happens when you start your own business and you start really realizing that your income is going to come from your efforts alone. That does something to you. But in my world, from free enterprise, a business owner, we are dealing with people all the time who have one thing. The most important thing for them is, can you help me elevate my life? Can you help me have a better life? Boy, what better platform than free enterprise, which is the most important, the most effective way to elevate people's lives if they work, if they sacrifice, if they're willing to educate themselves, if they're willing to stop making excuses, if they're willing to listen to people who are in life where they want to be. They have to move. They have to do something. Whether it's building a business, building a ministry, doing what you're doing here, Steve, it all is going to be based upon doing. I am a stickler for that. I don't want to hear what you say. What your words say, what your words speak so loudly, you know, I can hardly hear what you say because I see what you do.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And that's it. And it's the same thing with our Christian walk. You know, faith without works is
dead.
Dead. And for me, I'm compelled to be able to share not just the gospel, but I also have to get to the point where they're willing to listen.
Right, exactly.
So you serve people, you treat people kindly, you talk to them because you care about them. If you're willing to do that, you are going to initiate another level of a relationship. Everything I do is relationships. Everything I do. My relationships at home with my wife and my family, my relationships in the business world, in my church, my pastor, with people that I hardly even know, that I want to expand my reach, not for selfish ambition, not for greed, but because that's what we're called to do. We're
that's
supposed
right.
to be the light in the world,
that's
the
right.
salt to add seasoning. This is important.
Yeah, because in your business capacity as a leader of a large sales organization, you could, but it wouldn't be wise, I don't think. Get up on stage and just give them both barrels. I'm going to give you the Jesus barrel, and I'm going to give you the America barrel. You serve your people. You try to help them succeed, give them the skills to succeed. And then as you earn that, then you can start folding in that part of the conversation because you've earned the right to do it. Is that essentially what's happened?
Yeah. You look at any entrepreneur out there, what people see is the social media, the pictures on stage doing cool things.
Yeah.
But really where their success comes from is one-on-one with small groups, interacting with people, doing the things that very few people see behind the scenes. And that's been my motive operation. I'm going to find a way to connect with people and extend to them hope. If they have hope, they will take action.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the great things about this nation. I mean, you could go into the middle of a BLM march last summer, and I could go in and ask, do you realize what a privilege it is that you could even be out here? You go try this in other parts of the world, or you go try this in America 100 years ago, and that ain't going to go well for you. But yet, here we are. And you got to understand that perspective. That's them understanding history, which requires us to engage. But for each one of us, in terms of salt and light, which you mentioned, and I learned this when I was working on my master's degree in ethics. One of my professors said that the gospel is a moral solution to a moral problem. So in a country that's casting aside morality, the further away we get from virtues, ethical or moral norms, you come up to somebody and you're in a conversation and you bring up that they need to be saved, their question is going to be saved from what? Because our moral standards are so low that from a moral perspective, Joe, everybody's actually okay. And so what do I need a gospel
your
for?
Your morals are okay with you, but they may not be okay. What's the standard for moral and
right,
virtue?
Right. Exactly.
That is God, the Bible. Right. And right. when we lose that, now it is, for some people, virtue is that we should be in fear. Mm. For others, it is that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's, you know, when you hear God and country, I'm like, you know, I like that phrase. Because, first of all, it's in the right order. And the country does matter. Americans matter more than America. That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. But America matters because it's made up of Americans. So the society matters. The culture matters. The government matters because it affects 340 million people, all of whom are made in the image of God and have inestimable worth. And so you engage. To not engage is apathy. Apathy is the opposite of love. That's to actually know what's right and choose not to do it. Back to James. You know what's right, but you choose not to do it. And so you say you love your neighbor. No, you don't. You actually don't give a rip. And that's why you do nothing. So for us as Christians, and particularly Christians in America, you have to engage. It can be social media. But to your point, I think we got to be willing to have we're all looking for the social media knockout blow, the one video that's going to get 200 million views and change the world. That ain't going to happen.
No.
There's one person that could single-handedly change the world. His name is Jesus, and none of us are him. But you can have an impact with the people in your life. Yeah. And have those conversations and engage and wear a T-shirt, which might sound silly, but it might force you into a conversation that you otherwise wouldn't have.
When your foundational document or foundational belief is that everybody is worth something, then awesome. You will respect people. Yeah. You will have tolerance. You will compromise a hard stand. Doesn't mean you compromise your core philosophy and belief, but you'll make compromise and draw consensus because, as we talked about in the country, to form a more perfect union or a better society, a better school, a better church. Where's the pastors talking about this?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's another topic for another time, but boy, oh boy.
But they're afraid of it too. And they have to realize in America, like Daniel, and a lot of people don't like to hear this, but the reality is, and the numbers bear this out, that we, in fact, at this point in 2021, live in a pagan nation. Barna did this study recently. Only about 6% of Americans, Joe, actually live out of an operational biblical worldview. 88% are what we call syncretists, which is essentially is a worldview potpourri. They just got all kinds of different stuff, whatever baptizes their life and makes them feel good. So you're basically surrounded by dead people. So as we engage for the sake of America because of Americans, you have to remember that most Americans don't know the Lord, and they're lost. And when they die, it won't matter what the state of the nation is because the state of their soul is.
But here lies the opportunity.
Yes.
Isn't it? That is it. And that's why you get up every single day when your feet hit the floor in the morning. You're ready to go. And you got place to go, people to see. And just and at night when you put it down, put your head in a pillow, pick your feet off the floor, you know you did something. And that would be my message for today. Live every single day without regret.
Yeah. Isn't that strong?
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Live every single day without regret, loving your neighbor as yourself, which includes loving the country in which your neighbor resides. And I think some of the things that we need to remember, if you feel hatred in your heart towards your fellow Americans, your neighbors, liberal, Democrat, homosexual, straight, whatever, you need to deal with that. Because what we should feel is I hate sin and I hate evil. But we should love people. So it's an interesting concept to talk to people and say, listen, the media, even our politicians, want us to hate each other. But I refuse to do that. I want to work really hard to love you well. And I hope you'll love me well, too. And then you can get into a conversation of what drives that. And that's a gospel conversation. While at the same time, I don't know about you, Joe, but I can walk and chew gum at the same time. So we can talk about the country. We can talk about moral issues. We can talk about political issues. While at the same time, we can talk about gospel issues. Right?
Yeah. My neighbor, he's a liberal. He doesn't like me at all. But it just propagates the same argument that they have. If I ignore him.
That's right.
If I treat him like dirt.
You are exactly who he thinks you are.
I lose my opportunity.
Exactly right. Joe Markowitz, always great to have you in. So great to see you. Thank you for your time. Defender-gear.com is the website. Maybe help you have a conversation where you can talk about the things of the nation, but especially about the things of God. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.